In our continuing examination of the race riots in Wales in 1919, this chapter relates to the race riots in Barry in 1919. First of all, there is a need to be clear. The race riots were direct attacks by hundreds of white men, mainly men, on black people. They attacked them in the street, chasing and pursuing, then beating them if they could, and they burnt down and ransacked their homes and lodging houses. In Cardiff, white women living with black men were stripped and beaten by the mob. The first of the race riots actually broke out in Newport on 6th of June, when it was alleged that a black man had made an insulting remark to a white woman. A white soldier then attacked him. Violence quickly flared as an angry mob of white people began attacking at random all perceived non-white people, who then began responding in kind with whatever they had to hand, including sticks, pokers, razors, knives, and in some cases, revolvers. The Nottingham Evening Post, 12th of June 1919. Fatal affray in Barry. A soldier named Henry Longman, aged 30, was fatally stabbed in the street in Barry last. A Negro is detained in connection with the soldier's death. Crowds of white men and women surrounded the police station. They were dispersed, but disturbance followed in various many streets where men of colour were known to reside. Windows were smashed and property damaged. Western Mail, 12th of June 1919. Barry riots started because, quote, "the black waylaid him, Fred Longman, seized him by the throat, pinned him against the wall and stabbed him under the heart." According to court records, a witness, Louisa Richards, coloured woman married to a coloured man, now at sea, who lived at 17 Beverly Street, but now lives at Harvey Street, said Longman was standing in his doorway when prisoner, Charles Emmanuel, and another coloured man entered the street. Prisoner spoke to the witness and the other man walked on. Longman came up and asked Emmanuel, "Can't you find a street of your own to walk in?" Emmanuel replied that he was not doing any harm, whereupon Longman struck him. A struggle ensued and Longman was pinned up against a wall. Two men came across and one man struck Emmanuel with his fist. The other man got a poker, and Emmanuel, who relaxed his hold of Longman, pulled out a knife. Louisa Richards saw Longman make another dart at the prisoner, and Longman then staggered and fell bleeding. Although she was only a few yards away, she said she did not see Emmanuel actually stab Longman. This was a time when violence and crime were entirely normal parts of people's lives, especially in docks towns. Frederick Longman was a convicted thief and had also been arrested for assaulting a police officer. This continued during his service in the army, during which time he was charged with various offences by the army. He had served as a driver in World War I but had been discharged in February 1919 after suffering from dysentery. Although the papers described him as a soldier, all that actually meant was that he was in the discharge period when he would have been receiving insurance payments after leaving the army. He was not, in fact, a serving soldier, and his pension would have run out on October 19. He was a resident of Fairford Street, Caddixton, for at least 10 years, and he left a wife and three young children. Charles Emmanuel was a fireman, a merchant seaman working below decks, and as he operated from Barry Docks, he would also have been directly involved in World War I. We cannot now say who started the fight between Emmanuel and Longman and others, but we know that 36-year-old Frederick Longman was killed and Emmanuel was arrested. At Swansea Town Hall Assizes, 45-year-old French Caribbean seaman Charles Emmanuel was charged on the 22nd of July 1919 that he did, quote, "willfully and of malice aforethought kill and murder one Frederick Henry Longman," unquote. However, murder was not proven, and Emmanuel received a sentence of manslaughter with a prison term of 5 years. Western Mail, 13th of June 1919. Scenes at Barry, houses damaged, but no personal violence. There was a slight renewal of outbreaks at Barry on Thursday, the paper says. Excited crowds settled in the streets of Caddixton, and the home of many of the coloured seamen were visited. Damage was done to the houses by the smashing of windows, etc., but fortunately the strong form of police available, together with the heavy rains which fell, damped the ardour of the crowd, and eventually prevented anything like a serious disturbance, and but little personal violence was indulged in. What might have developed into an ugly incident was prevented by the prompt action of the police. It appears that about 50 workmen early in the afternoon went to a fish and chip shop in Holton Road, which is kept by a woman whose husband is a Negro. A large crowd gathered on the scene, but the police had been sent and formed a cordon. They prevented the workmen from entering the premises and carry out their threats of molesting the coloured man. Murder charge. Further arrests. Three coloured men were arrested at the docks on Thursday for having small arms and other dangerous weapons of offence in their possession, and they will also come up for trial today. The violence against black seamen was to continue for a few more days, during which time Ernest Jackman was chased from his home in Beverly Street by a mob. Jackman had served through the war in France with the Queen's Rifle. He was arrested by the police on the 11th of June and sent to court and found guilty of wounding John Goldsworthy. He was fined £10 and told to be of good behaviour for 12 months. As tensions rose, some of the wives of black seamen took their children and went to stay with family and friends in the Rhondda Valley until their husbands returned from sea and things calmed down. As with other areas, the local authorities and government tried to persuade black seamen to accept repatriation, a free boat ride home, a one-way journey. This was not accepted in Barry, especially as many men had families, and this may be the point at which they actually decided to become British, choosing family over land of their birth. In fact, a number of them, like Leonard Hines, chose to leave the sea and become miners. The events of June 1919 in Barry are not common knowledge locally, and little has been written about them in the 100 years since. Only recently has this secret history been publicised, but it is still not the topic of schoolwork, which is a shame for many reasons, not least because the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of that generation do not know that the black seamen and soldiers and white wives clearly made a decision to remain in Barry and Wales, which is the reason those young relatives are citizens of Wales.